Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
So we're supposed to speak to Karida Saul, the researcher at the Development Action Group, to speak to us about the feedback on Ward Councillor Accountability and Transparency Seminar. Now, we managed to get hold of her, but the line is very, very bad. So we're trying to just establish a link from a different line to a different line at least, and then we'll see if we can squeeze her in during the course of the morning, inshallah. And while we're doing that, a lot of comments came through, and I sort of like the respect that goes with the topic on whether or not you want to read the book of Zephany Nurse. This one's from 6146. It says, "Assalamu alaikum, Ghulam. Each of the Zephany players will have a different narrative. So if there's a buck or two to be made, so be it." I agree. Absolutely right. Salam Ghulam, I won my voucher. Oh, wow. 0777. Well done. Well done. I'm glad your number got, selected to win that voucher. We'll get into some of your messages in the next couple of minutes. The Development Action Group hosted a seminar to highlight the role of ward councillors in their communities. This is essentially the person who has been voted in to serve and represent the concerns in the area and should ideally be accessible very easily. Now, there are some ward councillors who might perform well. However, some residents might not be so fortunate to have those ward councillors. So, we thought we'll just get some feedback as to how the seminar went. Overall, researcher at the Development Action Group, Karida Saul, joins us online. Karida, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Breakfast 91.3 FM. How did the seminar go, in terms of attendance, etc.?
Good morning, Ghulam, and thank you for having me. We had a really good seminar. The attendance was great. We had more than 100 people there, and everybody was really there to give their insights. And I think what was really exciting was the fact that everybody wants to get solutions. We're tired of talking what the problems are, and we really want to focus on how we can make things better.
Mm. And also in terms of, some of the points that were key, where there was sort of a unanimous agreement on certain points. Could you touch on that for us?
Yes, I think one of the main points that came out is that it is time for us to claim back our power. As citizens, we have so much power to change the system and to have an impact in the decisions that are made around how our communities are developed. And we need to use the existing systems more efficiently and more strategically in terms of where we interject so that we can change the decision-making around how resources are allocated and how budgets are being spent. And that means really being very strategic and taking part in the reporting and budgeting processes, being aware of that, attending meetings where you have an opportunity to actually give insights, and really just claiming that power back in this thing. And I think one other issue was around the electoral system. We know that in South Africa, our ward councillors are elected based on the proportional representation system and on the ward election system. And just the impact that the alignment to party political interests have on the extent to which councillors prioritize the needs of the communities as opposed to what the party mandate is. So it's really a conversation around how do we change the status quo if we do that, and what creative ways we can develop to change that. Yes, it's going to be difficult. Yes, it's systemic changes that usually take a very long time. But how do we change that if it needs be? And if not, how do we create alternatives to that system that allow for citizens to participate more efficiently and to be able to hold the ward councillors accountable?
Do you see it becoming also sort of a political thing where they're saying, I live in a DA ward or I live in an ANC ward and the services are different? And also, in terms of holding the ward councillor accountable, is that also a process that you were looking at?
I think one of the things that we realized last night across the board, across the city, we very much face the same issues. Where councillors work well is usually in areas where things are going a little bit better. But even so, regardless, we face the exact same issues with our councillors, regardless of political party affiliation. They're not responsive. they're not accountable, and the system simply isn't working. So now, I don't think that the party political interest in that respect, in terms of the interest that we are pushing or the priorities that communities are pushing, necessarily has an impact to that extent. It's more the sense that how it influences the way that councillors respond. So, no, I don't think that's the issue. I'm sorry, I missed your second question.
You know, in terms of holding the councillor accountable, you know, to look at that process.
Yeah, so we discussed that, and like I said, there are various ways in which you can hold them accountable. One really important is participating in the annual cycle of reporting and budgeting, and using those meetings that councillors are supposed to hold much more strategically. So it's usually there is a cycle that's being given annually in terms of the meetings that will be hosted, in terms of the reporting processes. The annual report, for instance, was identified as an extremely important document for communities to engage with, because in that report, ward councillors, or municipalities rather, outline what they have achieved and what they have not achieved. So it's really important to engage with that document and then to attend the meetings so that you can question the ward councillor around. Look, this is what you set out to achieve initially. Why hasn't it been achieved? This is what you prioritize. How should we change that? And then also it's looking at the budgeting process. Around August, that is when it starts. But also looking at the documents in relation to the IDP, the budget that follows from the IDP, and how resources are allocated, and engaging with that and questioning that.
Right. And just lastly, before I let you go, you know, the way forward, what has been discussed?
So the way forward for us was first of all to share the resources that we had last night, because PowerPoint presentations were made. We want to develop a report around this event so that we can specifically identify the best practices that communities identified, you know, where things are working well, where they did have councillors who possibly weren't as involved in the community and where they were able to engage. So the importance of this event was really around knowledge sharing, so that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is perhaps look at the process of public participation and how we can make that more meaningful and how we can rethink it a little bit. So the idea is to experiment within two wards and to consider within those two wards what does meaningful participation actually mean, and to engage with those people and perhaps draw up some sort of output that we can put forward and think about how we can advocate for improvement in that regard.
Right.
And I think the last issue is that there were a bunch of civic associations and groupings that identified legal issues and the legal process as a recourse, or as a final recourse, because they're not able to engage with their board councillors. So what we want to do is get those groups together so that they can share information with each other, so that they can network and build relationships and push for getting greater accountability and assisting with that process.
Greta Saar, researcher at the Development Action Group, thank you for your time this morning, and please do keep us informed.